Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Wisdom Walk here on Black Hole Radio and on my YouTube live stream, Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. I am your host and guide, Jojapa Maria Ensaroma, and June is the second of three water months in this mineral year of clarity, confidence, and courage. This June especially has brought radical transitions and deep transformations. Emotional support has been my theme this month because it's so essential to navigating this deep change. Over four broadcasts and live streams, I've shared wisdom and insights to help you grow your ability to manifest emotional support because our culture conditions us to value financial support more than emotional support. And, you know, we can really miss out on the most, what I believe is the most loving human experiences on this planet, probably elsewhere. Now, previously, in the last three broadcasts, I have talked about three key elements for manifesting emotional support. And in this concluding broadcast and live stream, I will share wisdom and insights on a fourth one, emotional transparency. And I'm going to use scenes from movies that illustrate that quite nicely. And anybody that knows me or has been listening to my broadcast over the last 5 years knows I love, love, love talking movies. So I'm really excited for tonight's show. Now, in case there are some of you who are listening or watching in for the first time, let me give you a brief overview of Wisdom and Walk. This is a personal development resource for your mind, body, and soul. My ministry is any pain that is not transformed will be transferred. So the essential goal of my shows is to support you in learning how to recognize and release any and all pain that may be blocking fulfillment in life, or what I like to call having your happy endings in life. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, I broadcast live again both here on Black Hole Radio and here on YouTube Live, unless I'm on hiatus, which is going to occur next month. I will be taking July off, give you more information about that. Or again, if something unexpected occurs, like the Wi-Fi goes out, but if for some reason you cannot access your internet to listen or watch, you can always listen to this live broadcast at the following phone number. It is area code 563-999-3089. Again, that's 563-999-3089. You can ask questions of me or share comments on my website, which is www.wisdomwalktoselfmastery.com, or on my YouTube channel, of course, at Wisdom Walk to Self Mastery in the comment section that you'll find scrolling below. But right now, I invite you to sit or lay back and join me for an exploration of the inner landscape, where we can connect to our souls and discover the true strength and joy of being human. Now, as always, I want to start off my show first by having us do some honoring of the ancestors. And I got the hit tonight that I needed to take a moment and acknowledge the new ancestors. So the persons who have crossed over recently within the last year. These new ancestors, these persons are now available to us, or getting prepared to be available for us to be our guides. I had a family tragedy in November of last year. My great nephew committed suicide, and it just really rocked the family. But what really, I think, has been such a great gift and treasure for all of us is us experiencing his continued presence in our lives. And it's just made such a difference. We've been able to express ourselves and talk about the tragedy and to love on each other in a very, very deep and profound way. So I know that these new ancestors really, really want to support us and want to help us. And so I think it's important to take this moment and think of them. So if you have someone in your life who has left this earth plane, left their physical self and gone on to a higher order and direction, speak their name out loud, and I'm going to say up a prayer to just thank them for being willing to be supports and guides to us. Creator, Mother, Father, God, Source, All the One, All That Is, I thank you. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you for your blessing and your mercy in our lives, and definitely for this great, great gift and blessing of the ancestors, your great emissaries, those who can go be the go-betweens between us and you, because we really have forgotten how to speak your language. We really have forgotten who and what you really are, But the ancestors being back there in the realm of the ancestors, in the realm of your existence, they do know. And because they've had this earthly experience, they're very, very capable of translating for us that which we desire, that which we're asking, that which we're thanking for from you, Creator. And so, at this time, we would like to thank the new ancestors, those persons who have crossed over in the last year, and thank them for their willingness to be of service to us from beyond, from the other side, because truly, we need all the help that we can get. And so, new ancestors, we're calling out to you, and we're saying thank you, thank you, thank you. And Creator, again, we ask and thank you for the blessing of the ancestors in the name of all that is holy. I say amen. Ashe aho asa shinga bismillah. So it is. Ashe. Ashe. Wow. What an incredible week we have coming up and an incredible month. Now, June definitely was huge in terms of its energy of transformation, transmutation. I mean, you know, oh my God, I got so rewired, it wasn't funny. And it started, you know, it started back in March, definitely. It really started earlier than that. But definitely we saw big signs in March. And then April, it got a little tighter. Then May, it got even more tight. And then in June, it was like, yeah. So, and I've been talking about navigating through this energy. So now we're getting ready to cross into July, and we're going to experience more of the consequences, the outcomes, the renderings, if you will, of all the good, deep, important work that we did and what we experienced in June. So, yeah, buckle up, get ready. It's going to be another big ride. So elemental wisdom I'm going to start out with, and then I'm going to tell you this astrological, astronomical stuff, because it really, it's just amazing. It's absolutely amazing. June was a little quieter around that, but this was now like in our face. So here's the elemental wisdom. Starting this Tuesday, we open up the fire month of July with a fire week. On a fire day, so Tuesday the 2nd, and it'll go until Monday the 8th. Here's the opportunity for this week. It's all about being truthful with yourself and others. Really, really important. Really, really important, especially because we live in a time where our institutions are demonstrating that they have allowed people to be a part of those institutions where trust is essential, but there are a lot of people in these institutions that are not trustworthy. And so this energy is really pushing us around being truthful with ourselves and then with others. To support us in that, call upon the ancestors to bring you the clarity when you feel confused or conflicted. Walk your talk. I'll repeat that. Walk your talk. Live in self-referred consciousness, meaning trust your intuition and honest feelings and heartfelt feelings more than the opinions, advice, or judgments of others. Allow your inner authentic self to be in charge of your life versus the image of yourself that you project out to the world. As Mr. Rogers said, people can love you exactly the way you are. So, yeah, this truth week is showing up in a fire month, all about the truth coming out, being exposed, walking in truth, walking our talk, and having the courage and the confidence and the clarity to do that. So calling on the ancestors, really, really important. Definitely do some ancestor plates, you know, with dinner, put a little sample of all the food you eat and put it to the side, put it in a little plate, light a candle and say, ancestors, help me stay true to who I really am. Now, here's some distractions. Being pulled to maintain the status quo, meaning to go along with what you think you've got to go along with so that you can be in the in club. Not a good idea. Abandoning your true self in order to please others or avoid conflict. Ain't happening. Lying to yourself and others. And you know what I mean by that, because we all know what it's like when we know we're not telling ourselves the truth or we're not accepting a truth that we need to accept about ourselves. So avoid that. It's not going to be helpful. Sacrificing your needs in order to belong or to be included. This is a very adolescent thing, but it does carry into adulthood, I know. So really check that. Really check, am I sacrificing something I need because I think this is the only way I can belong or be included? Like, you know, really contemplate that and don't do it. Just leave it alone. And then last but not least, most importantly, that fear of not being liked, loved, or accepted. Really get in touch with that. Really be truthful about that, because that can drive you down roads and into places and situations that will really, you know, backfire and not bring fulfillment. It can be very painful. So really wanting to check that. Like, what is going on? Am I, you know, caught up in that game? So, again, there you have it for the fire week, fire day, fire month of July 2nd through the 8th. Now, on top of this, on top of this is a lot about the truth, right? In this very elemental way, we come in with the astrological forecast of where on July 2nd, the same day, we actually get a new moon in the sign of Cancer enhanced by a total solar eclipse. Yeah, yeah. And it's going to occur at 1:16 p.m. Mountain Daylight Time, which will be about 4:16 Eastern Time. And, of course, it'll be at noon Pacific Time. And we won't see it in this part of the world. I'm talking about the United States. We won't be able to see it in the United States, but it will be in the South Pacific and in parts of South America. I'm calling this the Infinity Stone Snap. You got a new moon and you got an eclipse. Not just an eclipse, a total solar eclipse. Yeah. An eclipse is just exactly what it sounds like. Something getting eclipsed. Something's being taken out. Something's being snapped out, you know. And so those of you who watch Endgame, you know what I'm talking about. Or Infinity War, you know what I'm talking about. So here's the positive in this, though. Because I know, you know, when you hear the snap, and I think, oh, my God, no. There's an opportunity here. There's an opportunity with this snap. Because this new moon, and this information is coming from the wonderful Lena Stevens, wonderful shaman astrologer. Her website is The Power Path. She says, this new moon is about the heart, your truth, there we go again, your emotions, and working with what you carry in your bones and blood from your ancestors, your imprinting, and your own personal lineage of lifetimes. That's what this new moon is about. So this is like huge. This is really big. The new moon time is made more powerful by the total solar eclipse. The energy of this eclipse is one of commitment and discipline as you make choices. So here's the upside, to eliminate change and start something new. So that's the opportunity with the snap. We're not going to do a Thanos snap. We're going to be snapping out, what is it that I need to let go of? What is it I need to change so that I can really start something new? Because it's time for something new, for something different. She says, we can't stress enough the need for clearing, cleaning, eliminating, and completing as a way to create the space needed for something new. So again, we're moving in. Like I said, you know, June was that turning point. June was a turning point. It was like, okay, gotta let this go, gotta let this go. There was a lot of cleaning out and moving out and letting go in June. And it was a water month, so it made sense. It's a month for releasing, purifying. Now we get into July, and it's like, okay, whatever you didn't let go of, it's going to get burned up. It's like you had your chance with water. You didn't do it. It's going to be burned up, you know, because fire is a much more radical energy for shifting things and changing things and eliminating things. Now, she goes on to say that a new moon is always a good time to consider making a change and an improvement and a commitment to do things differently. Again, that same message, right? Change. Focus on the heart and on your emotional intelligence, which I have been talking about all month, of intuition and truth, and use this as the fuel for your intentions. How synchronistic and perfect is that? Focus on your heart and your emotional intelligence. It is a time when you can be truly nurtured by all your support and find comfort and safety in your own certainty and deep knowingness of what is right for you. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is like so, so, so wonderful because it's where we're at. It's what we need, you know, as a human species. We need to get to our truth. We need to trust our heart, follow our heart. We need to let go of the stuff that isn't working. Like, let it go. So I suggest that you set an intention for July 2nd. I know I am. And that you really think about what is going on in your life that you really need to eliminate. Is it a relationship? Is it a work situation? Is it a belief system that you now clearly can see it ain't working? Is it a behavior that you're doing that is really treating yourself like you're disposable or like there's something wrong with you, like you don't belong here, you don't have a purpose, you know, whatever it is, whatever that negativity, that fear is, set an intention to snap it out. Because that new moon energy and that eclipse energy is not playing. It is powerful. And you think about it, it's happening down in the southern hemisphere, down in the South Pacific. So that energy is just going to radiate up like this. Right. So everybody's going to be affected by it. Right. I'm really excited for it because it's like, you know, it's just time. It's just time for stuff to move forward. Now, also in July, very important, we have our second Mercury retrograde coming up. That's going to start on July the 8th, and it'll run through to July the 31st. So for most of July, we're going to be in retrograde. Now, this information is from Astro Butterfly. I like it because most of the time when people talk retrograde, they're like, okay, don't use anything electric, don't sign any contracts, don't go on any trips, don't do this, don't do that. And it's a very like kind of fear-based thing about, oh, I'm going to be held up, things aren't going to go well. And that's not really what a retrograde is about. So listen to her information because I think she nails it for me in a way that we can actually embrace and use the energy of retrograde to enhance, to grow, to evolve ourselves. She says, a planet is more active when retrograde. That's because it's closest to the Earth. So Mercury is closest to the Earth when it's retrograding. That's why it looks like it's retrograding. It looks like it's going backwards, right? And she says, so you can't ignore its energy even if you try because it's like it's coming right in your face, right? She said, yes, you may have to reduce stuff when Mercury is retrograde. Yes, some things might get delayed, but that's what Mercury retrograde is here for, to push us to deal with stuff we didn't deal with when Mercury wasn't direct. So again, it's this reset time. It's a time to really stop and consider and discern and contemplate. She says, if you try to avoid the energy of a planet or aspect, things only get worse, not better. When we refuse to work with the energy of a planet, we either deny it or project it onto other people. So in other words, if you're not dealing with your pain, you're going to transfer it. It's my ministry. So Mercury is there to help you become more conscious of what it is that you need to, again, let it go, snap it out. She says, but when we invite it, when we work with it, this is when we get the best out of this retrograde. So you don't have to project it or transfer it onto other people. Embrace it, work with it. She says, you're better off if you swim with the current rather than going against it. Trying to shut down the energy of the planets is not going to work. She says, inviting the energy in and co-creating with it, with awareness and intention, that is what works. And so, again, for this month of July, it is a time to, you know, we're going to have this, like, rendering. These outcomes are going to show up. You're going to get to see the work from June and prior to that. So some things are going to pop up. But within that, and again, we're getting the opportunity to, you know, on a second to do this shift. And then when the retrograde shows up, it's like, okay, here's what you got now. Here's what you shifted. Now it's time to integrate it, So that by the end of July, when August rolls around, oh, man, you're going to be ready to move. You're going to be ready to go. Like, nothing's going to hold it back. So just know that. Don't be afraid of the Mercury retrograde. Use it. Co-create. I love that you said co-create with it. And if you get delayed, you get delayed. But use that. Accept that and say, okay, I got delayed for a reason. Let me step back and let me consider what's going on here. And just know that the more time you take to just chill out, slow down, reconsider, redo, rethink, refine, then, you know, it's going to be easier. And again, when August comes, it's just going to, like, it's just going to roll. You're going to be on a magic carpet. Now, all month I've been talking about navigating this energy because it is so pretty powerful. I started off telling you about just being conscious of it. It's really deep change energy, and intend to spend time resting. I gave you some meditation videos from Yellow Brick Cinema and Meditative Mind on YouTube to check out and use. Then I talked about accepting change can be blocked by anxiety and fear. So I said, confront that, become conscious of it, and work it out by running, you know, a meditative walk, you know, doing something with your body, moving your body. I talked about taking that salt bath too, which is really, really helpful to, again, letting go. Third, I talked about emotional support, about really connecting with persons that you can be your authentic self with, people who really can hold the space for who you really are, who love you unconditionally. And I said, if for some reason you couldn't get connected to those people, then do some expression of the support that you need by writing your feelings out, singing them, playing a musical instrument, creating a visual piece of art, any form of loving expression. I also said stay away from sedating yourself in any form, because this was about being emotionally intelligent so that you could get that emotional support. And then today, for this closing out of getting through the June energy, celebration. Do something fun today or definitely tomorrow to validate the fact that you have successfully navigated the transformative energies of June, that great turning point, and that you're now ready to receive your rewards, your outcomes, your renderings of what has occurred. May they be rich, many, and totally aligned with your highest purpose. So there you have it. Blessings, blessings, blessings for what is coming in July. Fabulous stuff. So tonight I am going to be talking about manifesting emotional support in this concluding broadcast and YouTube, by first reviewing the first three elements of manifestation that I've shared, Then I'll talk about emotional transparency with cinema illustrations. And last but not least, I will give you a personal challenge, which will probably go right back to this whole thing with Mercury retrograde. So my opening quote this week is, we live in a culture of secrecy where hiding and lying are accepted as natural, even though we don't like it. We want honesty, transparency, and authenticity in our loved ones, our groups, and organizations, and in our own self, so we can reach the heights of our capacity. By clinging to the opaque reality, we stall our evolution. And this is from Penny Pierce, and her book is Transparency, Seeing Through to Our Expanded Human Capacity. And I just love that. I thought that was really way cool because emotional support is so essential for our humanity, for us being human to ourselves, first of all, treating ourselves like human, but also extending that to other people. Since the dawn of civilization, again, financial and material support has taken precedence over emotional support. Wars, natural disasters like the plague, and other life-threatening situations have shut down our emotions to focus on survival. And it's turned into a foundation for the development of cultural institutions like church, family, religion, employment, education, community, all of that. And this is what happens with us as humans, you know, from we get imprinted, if you will. We get imprinted with a belief system, paradigms, ways of going, doing and being based on events that happened and that really were traumatic. And so it is, you know, a challenge to shift that around, especially when we don't even know that that's what's really going on. And we've created all of these structures, if you will, to really keep those kind of beliefs and practices in place. And so we have moved now into the age of illumination. And as humanity is evolving away from people are disposable and into people are valuable, we have got to manifest emotional support in order to be well and fulfilled in life and have those happy endings. Because we've got to move away from, you know, this belief that life is out to get us. And we have to start understanding and believing that life is out to gift us. Without emotional support, life is dull and meaningless. It really, really is. Because survival isn't what life is about. It really isn't. Survival is, it's an aspect of the human experience that we may move into from time to time, but we're not supposed to stay into it. It's like, that's not the whole story. It's really not. It may make good drama for The Walking Dead, but it's, you know, that's not how it rolls. And you'll notice, if you know history, you'll see that when people were really in the throes of survival mode, they didn't live long. They didn't live long. They didn't have long lives. No. Mm-mm. People who live long understand that, oh, wait, I'm here for a purpose. I got work to do. I made sacred contracts. I made agreements and promises. I got stuff to do. You know, they go beyond survival. So it is an evolutionary consciousness and an evolutionary process we have to go through to understand that life is more than just that. And so what comes with life being more than just survival is, oh, life is about love and being loving, you know. You know, back to the story of Scrooge, when he wakes up after being visited by them ghosts, he gets it. He's like, oh, wait, I'm not just here to survive. I need to go help out Tiny Tim and the family, and I need to go see my nephew, and I need to be loving, you know, like he gets it. He becomes emotionally intelligent. So without that, life is really dull and meaningless. And I had said this in the first broadcast that I think one of the reasons there are epic numbers of suicides among men in the United States I think an important reason is because most men get conditioned to be survivors and don't make that shift or that jump over to, wait a minute, I'm here for more than that. And the first person I need to take care of is myself. I need to learn how to take care of myself, exactly. And that's and then I can do that, to be self-full. So here are the four elements that I've been talking about that I believe are required for manifesting emotional support. Let me reframe that. I've been talking about three, but I'm getting ready to talk about the fourth one more tonight. So, but I'll talk about all four right now. So the first is emotional intelligence versus ignorance. We want to give emotional support, or you want to receive emotional support, you have to be emotionally intelligent. And emotional intelligence is basically being aware of what you are feeling and distinguishing between those feelings, knowing the difference between being happy and sad or angry and sad, you know, like that you know the emotions, you know the difference between them. And you also know that you have the ability to choose how to feel them, how long to feel them, when to feel them, where to feel them, that you have control over that, that nobody is making you unhappy. Nobody is making you sad. Emotional intelligence is like, no, this is something that I am choosing to do. And I will stay sad as long as I need to or I want to, but I'm the person who can shift that around. So emotionally intelligent people are empowered people. And so you're able to manage your emotions. You're able to take responsibility for your emotions. And when you see it's out of control, when you're like, I can't get myself to be happy, I can't get myself out of this funk, you go and do something about it. In other words, you don't stay in it. You go and do something about it. Now, again, people with mental illness where there's real, you know, brain chemistry imbalance, that's a whole different story. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when we can still function and still are able, you know, physiologically to make a shift. And that's emotional intelligence, being able to be conscious of that. Without that intelligence, you're not going to be able to pick up on when you need to ask for help or when somebody is asking you for help. You also won't be able to know whether or not you can give the help, right? And so sometimes we want to give help, but we're not really, you know, strong enough to, or we're not able to. And it's really hard. Like when you've agreed to do something, but you can't handle it, it's like, it's not a good day. And it does take time to become conscious of that and grow out of always saying yes. But you have to be honest. You have to know what it is that you're feeling. And then you have to be able to share that. So then I talked about this next element of manifesting emotional support is that you've got to be able to unblock yourself from emotional ignorance. And to do that, I talked about these four archetypal blocks, meaning that these are things that all of us as human beings have experienced and can identify with, and that is the wounded child, the victim, the saboteur, sabotaging ourselves, and the prostitute, which is really about giving away our power. Giving away our power. Again, making other people responsible for what only we really are responsible for. And when we're operating from those levels of consciousness, for example, if I'm operating as a victim or a wounded child, it will be hard for me to be emotionally intelligent and manage my emotions properly. I'm going to be projecting stuff onto other people. I'm going to be transferring my pain. And so by having these archetypes, you can look at and say, okay, where's my wounded child behavior when it comes to my emotions? Where's my victim when it comes to emotions? You know, am I in a victim mode around a situation so that you can shift it up? It's also looking at what went on to you in childhood that you are holding these blocks or holding these beliefs. So where in your life did this wounded child energy show up? taking on confronting those blocks, looking at those blocks, understanding those blocks, really then opens us up to be able to do this next really important element, which is emotional presencing. And that basically is the capacity to connect to the deepest source of yourself, to go to that inner place of stillness where knowing comes to the surface. Yeah. Like, then you're able to say, okay, let me really dive in and really experience my emotions as they're happening. As they're happening. Because when we're shut down, when we're emotionally ignorant, we don't experience stuff while it's happening. I get pinched and it may take me 10 days before I say, ouch, you know, and it's like an afterthought. But when you're emotionally present, if somebody is transferring their pain onto you, you can say to them, ouch, you know, I really feel disturbed. It's really painful what you just said to me, you know. And it's important as an adult that we're able to do that and share that with people, because a lot of times people don't even realize that what they're saying is hurting somebody else. They're busy trying to protect themselves or defend themselves. And so when you give feedback, and again, in a very responsible way, you know, ow, you know, that really hurt me. Did you really mean to say that to me in the way that you just said that? Help me understand, because I'm not clear about what I might have done or said to you to evoke that response. Let's talk about this. You know, then you can do some dialoguing. But you can't even do that if you're not able to experience what is going on. And it works the same way with joy. Like, you know, I think I shared a story about, like, I would be getting compliments from people and they'd say, oh, you're so beautiful. Oh, you're so smart. Oh, you're so this and that. And I'd just be like, it wasn't touching me. I couldn't feel it. I was like, shut down. And so I did my work because I said, God, you know, I want to feel what that person's feeling. Like, I want to feel good about me the way they're feeling good about me. And I did my work. And so now when somebody gives me a compliment, I'm able to feel it. I'm able to take it in and say, thank you. That's so kind of you. Oh, thank you. You know, and it feels good. It feels good. Now, emotional transparency, coming to that. And the word transparency comes from the Latin, medieval Latin, meaning shining through, shining through. I love that because, you know, our spirits are in these human bodies, right? And when you're transparent, it's your spirit that is shining through to another person, to yourself. In a word, emotional transparency is expressing and sharing your true feelings. Now, it doesn't have to be melodramatic or confrontational when you are conscious to not transfer your pain. It is the final step in manifesting support. It's being vulnerable and strong enough to do so. It's knowing your softness is your strength. Now, it's a challenge. It's a challenge because we shun transparency, especially when we don't feel safe, okay? Or our ego, our pain body mind is taking hold of a situation, right? So we're on the defensive. Maybe we flip back into one of those four archetypes, right? The wounded child, the victim, the saboteur, the prostitute. You know, so then it's very challenging for us to be transparent. But unless we are willing to choose transparency, to practice transparency, we can lose out on the experiences of giving and receiving love in an honest, authentic, healthy, and balanced way. Yeah. So again, to receive the emotional support, to give the emotional support, you've got to be emotionally intelligent, willing to confront what blocks you from being emotionally intelligent. You have to be emotionally present, and you have to be emotionally transparent. Yeah. If you want to be able to have your light shine through, that you feel safe enough for that. Now, when you choose to be emotionally transparent, Because again, yeah, of course, there are some situations where that's not a good idea. Like, this is not the time, this is not the place. And again, most of the time when you're in survival mode or you are someplace, it's not safe. It's simply not safe. But other than that, when you choose to be emotionally transparent, here's what will occur. Number one, you'll know you have a choice with how you act or don't act on your feelings. You know you have a choice. Two, you are not acting out of fear. There's no control drama going on. You're not trying to get somebody to do something. You're trying not being manipulative. You are acting out of love for self and others. Three, you are willing to take responsibility for how you feel and not make someone else responsible. Four, you are open to feedback only from those who are able to support you, not critics. Watch Brene Brown's video. But again, it's like, again, I'm discerning. I'm choosing. You know, I'm being transparent, you know, in a way that I can be supported. So again, you only open to feedback from people who can support you. And then five, you invite others to also be transparent and accept if they are not willing or able to be. Okay, because just because you can be transparent doesn't mean somebody else can be. And that's okay. That's okay. But it's good to know that, and then you don't put yourself in a situation where you are doing something that the other person can't reciprocate back. Okay? Now, let's go to the movies. My favorite part. I got to thinking that, wow, the best movies and stories always give the audience an opportunity to bear witness to a character's emotional experience. Actors look for that. That's like the juice for them. It's like, oh, man, I get to emote. Yeah, you know, they love that. Now, some of the most memorable scenes in movies are the scenes of emotional transparency, especially from a character who was demonstrating emotional shutdown and ignorance. Here are a few of my favorites. Now, for video, I wish I had the technology and knew how to do where I could just flash the scene up for you to look at, you know. Plus, I'd probably need about another 2 hours to do this broadcast. So I'm going to talk it, but I promise I will leave you a list both on my Wisdom Walk Radio page and underneath this video of the movies that I talk about, because you can search YouTube and you can find scenes. You'll find the scenes that I'm talking about. I think most of them. I found a few of them, but I think they're all on there. So I'm going to start back in the magical year of classic Hollywood, 1939, with the movie Gone with the Wind. Clark Gable, who starred as Rhett Butler, was at the time like the hot male movie star. I mean, he was at the top of the heap. Like, Clark was the man. Like, when the book came out and they started thinking about a movie, everybody said, oh, yeah, so Clark Gable, he's going to play Rhett Butler. So he's like, and, you know, and Clark was like a man's man, right, in those days. Like, he always was in a movie where he could be the hero and he could win and he's strong and he's handsome and he's intelligent, you know, always like that, right? That's Clark. So what blows people away in 1939 and still today when you watch the movie is Rhett Butler, who he plays, crying to Melanie, who's Olivia de Havilland, when Scarlett has a miscarriage. It's one of the reasons why this film is such a classic. And he nails it. He nails that scene. It is so beautiful. And it just blew people away because you can't be seeing Clark Gable crying. But he nails the scene, and it does something. You know, it does something to the audience. Still today when I see it, it's one of my favorite scenes from that movie. One of the favorite scenes probably from movies of all time, because it is just so powerful and unexpected. You don't expect that scene. You don't expect to see Rhett Butler being emotionally intelligent. Because Scarlett ain't happening. So really powerful. Check that out if you haven't seen it. Next, 1998, I'm going to jump to How Stella Got Her Groove Back. When Angela Bassett who stars as Stella, goes to the airport to finally surrender to loving Taye Diggs, who is the younger man character. Because, you know, that's the story, if you haven't seen how Stella got her groove back, is a mature woman, we call her older woman, she's a mature woman, and she falls in love with this man who's about maybe 15 to 20 years her junior. And so the whole story wraps around that. But throughout this process, of course, she's like, this is wrong, but it feels so good, but maybe it's wrong, you know. And there's this finally, you know, this scene where we just see her, you know, emotionally transparent and accepting and surrendering to this love. And, like, we'll figure it out, you know. But, again, it's the end of the movie, but it's a high point. You know, it's like really, and she nails it. She just nails it so beautifully. Really, really great. Next one, the year 2003, and I got two movies from here. This is a rom-com, Something's Gotta Give, with Diane Keaton and Jack Nicholson at their best, at their best. It is really just a great movie, written so well. But so what happens, again, and surprising, they come together and have an intimate experience in bed, which was, again, you couldn't imagine that would happen between the two of them, because they seem like so different. The two characters seem so different, but they click, they fall in love. And they're in bed and they're talking about how, you know, amazed they are and surprised they are and how good they feel, and they start crying. So Diane kicks it off, but then Jack Nicholson starts to cry. And again, you don't expect to see Jack Nicholson cry, you know. And, again, he just nails it, and it just blows you in. And then you're like, you know, as an audience, you're like, oh, my God, you know. And then one of the best scenes from any movie, too, is a montage of Diane Keaton when she is dealing with the fact that Jack Nicholson still hasn't changed, that he's still running after younger women and cannot be faithful to her. And so it is so wonderful, because you get to see, like, what it really is like for any of us when we've experienced a broken heart. And they have her where she wakes up and she just starts crying, and she's working right in this play, and she's just snotting and crying the whole time, and she's on the beach and she's crying, you know. She's in the shower and she's crying, you know. It's just so great. And, again, it's like the audience is getting a peek at her emotional transparency, which she eventually does share with her daughter, and it changes her daughter's life. And, of course, that whole movie is about people with shut down hearts opening up. So it's so refreshing, and we love to see that, you know, finally this turtleneck-wearing woman, so tight, finally breaks down. She finally breaks down. Another one from the same year, another rom-com, but just excellent, excellent, excellent writing. And both of these movies were written by women, too, and this one was directed by a woman. It's called Under the Tuscan Sun, with Diane Lane as Frances, a woman who is surprised to learn that her husband wants a divorce, and ends up going to Italy and staying and starting to recreate her life. And there is this wonderful montage of when she has to say goodbye to these workers. They were Polish workers that had come to do her landscaping, set up her garden, and also some renovations on the house. And there was one that just adored her. He was just totally in love with her. And in this montage, you see him just break down. I mean, like, genuinely, he is just heartbroken that he has to say goodbye to her. And it is so memorable when you see that. Because, again, right, it's this transparency. You know, it's like he couldn't hide it. He just had to break down. And it is just precious. It's absolutely precious. And then the other really great scene, again, comes at the end, because Frances, of course, her heart is shut down. It was shut down when she was married. And so, of course, through this whole movie, we're watching as she is opening her heart. And we see that there's a man who stops by a place on her property to pay homage to his beloved who died. And she must have lived in that house. And so there's this little niche of where he goes and he places flowers. And when Diane Lane sees him, earlier in the film, every time she sees him, he just kind of looks at her and he turns and he walks away. He doesn't like engage with her. And so she's like all upset about that, you know. Then finally, when she has opened her heart, she's standing on her balcony. She's watching him come because he does this all the time. He's laying his flowers for his beloved. And he stops. He looks over at her. He smiles and he tips his hat to her. And it was almost like now he can acknowledge her because her heart is open, you know. And it is just really, really sweet. Just really, really wonderful. Again, just that beautiful moment that, you know, she had become transparent. Jumping to 2006, one of my favorite love stories of all time, because it's got a little bit of sci-fi in it. It's called The Lake House, and it's a reteaming of Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves. And if you've never seen it, see it. It's really great. And what's going on in the story is that these two people fall in love, but they're in different times. Yeah. It's kind of like parallel time, but the years are different. So there's like 5 years difference between them. And she's ahead. She's in the future. He's in the past. But they communicate through this magical mailbox. And there's a dog that's in both of their lives that's the same dog. It's really wonderful how they did it, based on a Korean story. Anyway, so it gets to a point where Sandra just gets frustrated because she just can't be with him physically. And so she gives up, and she gets a parachute man, and she's going about, you know, trying to make do, you know, and she's in the process of trying to buy a home and renovate it, and she comes, this guy was an architect, Keanu Reeves was an architect, she comes to where his office is and finds out that he got killed. And she realizes that she was there 5 years ago when that happened, and she didn't know it was him that got killed. And so she realizes that, oh, my God, she can warn him not to come to the place where the accident would happen. And it's just this incredibly melodramatic, powerful scene of her on her knees in front of the magical mailbox, praying and asking him, please, please, please don't get, you know, I mean, like she is like, oh, my God. And again, she had been so shut down. She's been so tight. And to see her just, again, just totally transparent in how much she loves this man and really wants to be with him. And as the movie ends, we see that her wish finally comes true. I've got three more, and I'm going to go through them really quick. I'm watching the time, so I am going to spill over a little bit, but it's worth it because this is just so much fun for me. The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith came out in 2006, another 2006. This is where he's playing the real-life Chris Gardner, who was a salesperson down on his luck, and his wife leaves him, and now he has custody of his son, and he's homeless. And so we go through this journey with him of how it is that he recreates himself to be able to get a job that is stable so that he can take care of himself and his son. And he got a chance to kind of be a, intern at a big financial investment company. And he had a time that he could be there, and he knew it was going to come to an end. But he gets called into the office, and to his surprise, they're asking him to stay on. They're telling him, you know, we want you as a permanent member. And, oh, my God, the scene is so beautiful because he is just fighting back tears. I mean, he is fighting back the tears. Will Smith just nails this. And then he leaves, he picks his stuff up from the office, you know, and he goes outside and he just starts, like, going ballistic, you know, because, oh, my God, his dream came true. You know, again, beautiful, beautiful piece. Two more. One, Lord of the Rings, 2001, The Fellowship of the Ring. I fell in love with Viggo Mortensen's characterization of Aragorn, also called Strider. I had read the Lord of the Rings books, but when he gets tears in his eyes as he has to say goodbye to Frodo, as the fellowship has to break up because Frodo realizes, if I stay around these people, they're going to kill me. They're going to kill me for this ring. I need to get away from them if I'm really going to get this ring up into that volcano. And so you know, Aragorn gets down on a knee and he says to Frodo, you know, I would have gone with you to the end. And he is just teared up and his voice is teared up. And I was just like, oh my God. Again, it was so unexpected. So unexpected in the movie because, you know, like, yeah, Aragorn, he's a big hero. He's been using his sword and fighting people and killing dragons, whatever, you know. It was the last place you would think that character would go. And I just fell in love with him, and then I was sold on the movies. I was like, I got to watch him. I got to watch him, you know. It's just really, really cool. Watch that scene if you haven't really paid close attention to it. It's so powerful. And then last but not least, 2019, the movie I have now seen 8 times, Marvel's Avengers, The Endgame. Yes. And you'll notice that a lot of the – I started out with a film about a man, and then I gave you several films with women, which is expected, right? We kind of expect women to be transparent. But we don't expect Thor, the God of Thunder, superhero, to be emotionally wrecked. You just don't expect that. And it was beautiful, beautiful how the Russo brothers and the writers play this. And it is so powerful, so important. He's having trauma drama. He's post-traumatic stress symptoms, alcoholic behavior, anxiety attacks after the Thanos snap and everything that's gone on. But when he cries to his mother, who he gets to see, and opens up to receive her emotional support and wisdom. Oh, my God. It's just amazing. It's just so powerful. Because, again, you would never, never expect that Thor would go there, go all the way there. And, again, it was just done so beautifully and so wonderfully. If you haven't seen Endgame, shame on you. Go see it. It's a morality play. I'm going to do a blog about it. It's really, really cool for the times we're living in, especially. Okay, I am done. And I want to close out by saying, first of all, make sure that you do set an intention, especially on July 2nd, to up your emotional support, to receive it and to give it. I want to, first of all, thank my wonderful engineer, Ms. Yvette Parker, for the whole entire Black Hole Radio Be Well family. Brother Forrest, I hear you're doing good in your health. Keep it up, brother. Keep it up. And thank you for, again, making sure that I can be broadcasting for these past 6 months. Really, really grateful. I want to do a shout-out to my regular listeners, but especially Miss Sarah, because let me tell you about this woman. She took my book and put it into the hands of Michael Beckwith at Agape Church this morning, okay? I am so grateful for her emotional support and marketing support. She does a better job than my book publisher could ever do. So I'll keep you posted because I'm pretty sure I'm going to be on Michael Beckwith's radio show interviewing me. I might actually be talking at the church. That's her dream for me and selling my book. So, Miss Sarah, you just rock. You rock, sister. Love you. To all those who have wisdom walked with me and you know who you are, big shout out to my sister Queen Adara, Queen Reverend Adara. She's amazing, amazing healer. I've had her on my show one time before. I need to bring her back. She's just really great. And she told me she'd be listening in, so I wanted to do a quick shout-out to her. To my family, to my spiritual kin, to my transformational leadership colleagues, to my medicine brothers and sisters all around the world, thank you, thank you, thank you for your support. I could not do this without you. Now, again, next week, rebroadcast, because I'll be on hiatus from the live broadcast for the month of July until August the 4th. But I will provide links to the best of January through June 2019 radio broadcasts, and I will share them in a playlist on YouTube so that you'll have that. Again, my Facebook page is Wisdom Walk Radio. My YouTube channel is Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. And last but not least, I want to thank my God, my ancestors, my spirit guides, my loving entities, everything that walks with me, keeps my head to the sky, my feet to the ground, and my heart open to do this important work with and for all of you. Have a fabulous, magical fire week and this fire month coming up. And please, please, please remember that you are not disposable. You are divine. Good night now.
I hope you enjoy Convergence, and thanks again for sharing this part of your lives with us. It's been a real pleasure.